Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Everybody, welcome to the Football Ramble Euro, sponsored by Bet365. The first round is... That was a bit camp, wasn't it?
Was
five!
Camp. Yeah. We all know you're capable of that, though, so it's fine.
Very capable, but incredibly masculine at the same time. But the best of us are, I would argue.
Tweet in!
Yeah.
Let us know what you think.
Why? I don't need to tweet in, I'm hosting.
No, I don't mean you.
Oh, you cheeky sausage. Speaking of which...
Again, very camp.
Pete Donaldson's not here, but Jim Campbell is.
Hello.
Luke Moore is.
All right.
And I'm Marcus Speller.
Hello, Marcus.
Very hectic start there to the show, ladies and gentlemen, but one we all enjoyed, no doubt.
Busy, wasn't it? It was busy.
It was very busy, just like Hungary versus Portugal.
Yeah, it was busy.
Oh. Yeah. That was a packed schedule.
Game of the tourney.
I was wondering whether they were going to fit it all in.
What, all in Kirai's trousers?
Yeah.
All in Portugal's net.
Incidentally, James Horncastle, friend of the show, pointed out that Kirai is actually selling his tracksuit bottoms in a range of different sizes on his own website. So
it's hard to navigate that website. Yeah.
To navigate in those trousers.
Imagine he's outside the stadium with a little stall set up as well after each game.
I wouldn't be surprised. I would not be surprised.
It is worth a turn of the head. Before that game, Ronaldo threw a man's microphone in a lake.
I am loving the Ronaldo strop so much. And I'm also glad that we're now seeing that, you know, the positives of Ronaldo come out as well, because when he gets wound up, he tends to perform a little while afterwards. But I'm loving this. The free kicks thing is getting absolutely hilarious. He'll be taking goal kicks as free kicks soon.
The microphone was a perfect metaphor for the Portuguese national team. Mm. Essentially, Ronaldo is taking it, ripped it from the grasp of someone else and chucked it in a river.
Well,
but then having said that, he did actually play quite well against Hungary.
Prior to the match, Ronaldo had not scored in 36 free kick attempts at major tournaments, and he added a few more to that list. But he did score two goals and he got an assist.
Yeah. One of them was brilliant as well.
Would you rate that free kick record as good enough or not good enough?
At this late stage, and it is a very late stage, if you're coming into that argument, I think that is really not good enough.
I'd love to know how many free kicks he scored in total for Portugal. I would love it if it was none. I know it isn't none, but it would be amazing if it was none.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I don't know what his record is like in qualifiers, so if he scored a fair few there, then you're going to let him take them. But
He was shooting from way too far out. As Jim touched on one of the earlier shows in the tournament, it's interesting to see as how far back he will go and still elect to shoot.
They got one of them on target.
Yeah, he did. But, you know, you've got players like Pepe in there. Pepe's good in the air. You know, he's capable of getting something there. But they are effectively removing that option from their own team by playing to Ronaldo's ego and letting him shoot from wherever he wants.
Well, hopefully for Portugal's sake, Ronaldo's got a bit of that out of his system now with the two goals and that Luke's shaking his head.
Come on,
grinning.
I'm partly shaking my head and you know why, but also because you didn't even have the courage of your convictions to go through with that either, so I thought I'll stop you now. You don't think that, don't say it. There's no point.
All right, I apologise. Yeah.
Talk about Zoltan Gera.
If I could. Yeah. Oh my goodness, what a goal. Yeah. What a goal.
That was just magnificent. He's 37 years old, Gera.
This is a tournament for the oldies.
Yeah, the great thing about a player of that age is he can always do that.
Yeah.
A player can always do that. As long as he's standing in one spot and the ball comes to him.
Yeah, and it's the last 38-year-old Ricardo Carvalho is supposed to be marking you.
Yeah, quite.
England have messed it up again, haven't they? Because previous tournaments, they think, oh, Gerrard's a bit old, Lampard's a bit old. This was the tournament for them. Hmm. All the oldies are coming out.
Stop this.
Okay.
We're not having them back.
This ends with Sol and Sven, putting a stop to it now.
Can we just have one?
Which one would you choose?
I'd have Lamps.
I'd have Ashley Cole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jim?
Jeff Hurst.
Oh, fair enough. What a goal it was from Gera.
Ronaldo's first goal was a beauty.
But he set one up for Nani.
He did.
And also, it was... Nani and Ronaldo are friends, aren't they? And when Nani came to United, a lot of people thought
Ronaldo
he'd...
Does Ronaldo have friends?
Well, I
say that in the nicest possible way.
I think Nani's... in Ronaldo's mind, more of like a sidekick.
Yes.
So when he scored, I think that annoyed Ronaldo. He thought, he's not having the limelight. That's not what he's for.
But I think, I'd like to expand on that. So I think Ronaldo thinks Nani is his sidekick, but he also at the same time thinks that he doesn't need a sidekick. So if it were Batman and Robin, Ronaldo would just never call Nani up.
Well,
what are you doing? I've been fighting crime. Why didn't you ring me?
For those who are fans of Blackadder, I would say Ronaldo is like Captain Flashard.
Okay, right.
And Nani, in his mind, is Baldric.
Yes.
I mean, it really is. He uses him as a footstool.
Yeah, okay,
it's like that.
Because when Nani first broke onto the scene, people were saying, is this guy the new Ronaldo? Because the media are obsessed. They need to have a nude something. And Nani was very much looking like he was going to be that. Of course, he's never really fulfilled that.
No player ever has.
No, but he's still an important player for Portugal, isn't he?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Mm. I mean, you know.
He's having a good tournament as well. Like in a
micro,
badly misfiring team, which is, you know,
I think that's a stretch, Jim. I'm not going to get on board with that. If you're sailing that boat past the harbour and I'm looking for a ride to another harbour and that's the boat you're sailing past it, I'm not sure I'm jumping on
it. I don't want
it.
You on my boat.
To be fair, Luke,
to be honest,
grew up
it's leaking.
Yeah, right.
I don't need the weight.
I'll just weigh it down. Yeah.
Grew up on the south coast of England.
I did.
I live there now. So
you're late to the party.
Yeah. It's not in your blood like me. You're not ironborn like me, mate.
And God bless you for that, Jim. But it was 3-3. And Zuzak was scoring deflected goals left, right and centre.
Yeah. What a superpower.
The start of the second half was fantastic. It genuinely did look like they weren't going to be able to fit it all in. We're not done. But then they were done, which is a bit of a shame, because it did tail off for the last 15 minutes.
Because it suited Hungary. It looked like Portugal were like, yeah, this will do us. Maybe because they heard that Austria couldn't break Iceland down.
They thought they'd get England. Go, yeah, we know how that goes.
What do you think of Kirai's little trick?
Lovely.
Lovely one.
My goodness. Yeah. I love him. When he went to boot it long and he just hit it.
If you look carefully, he looks around about four times. Yeah, I am in 25 yards of space in every direction. I'm going to do this now.
The way he swung his foot and then played it with his, sort of standing foot, if you will. It was so laboured.
Yeah.
It was great.
It was like he was in slow motion. It was like me doing a trick, basically.
it was absolutely wonderful.
Well, what a fantastic game, anyway. A game of the tournament, we'd agree, I'm sure.
I think we needed a game like that. The tournament's had an awful lot going for it, but a game like that, it didn't have just quite yet.
Yeah, and it wasn't just that it had, you know, six goals in it. It was that sense of chaos while you're watching it, thinking absolutely anything can happen here, especially with stuff happening in the other game as well.
It's also served to show Hungary top in Group F. Played 3, scored 6, conceded 4, 5 points. Lovely old job. What a contribution.
I mean, Hungary and Iceland top that group.
Yeah.
The first and second. Nothing makes sense anymore.
You could make a serious claim before the tournament to suggest that they would have been in the opposite order.
Oh, absolutely. And you would have done. Mm. It's been quite remarkable. The average amount of goals per game in this tournament is low. I think it's only 1.92, which is lower than the majority, if not all, of the previous European championships in that current form. I know it's 24 teams, but in the kind of
I've got a feeling it'll bump up a wee bit.
You'd hope so.
But I think a lot of that is because teams that don't have as much firepower naturally have to shut up shop against, you know, a Germany or a Poland.
Well, like Hungary did.
But you know what I mean? There's been a lot of cases of that. Slovakia against England were a great example.
In Jim's defence, Mark, I think Hungary were already through at that point, weren't they?
They were.
Yeah, so they can throw the shackles off.
Yeah, and you can shut the hell up.
Have a bloody lovely time.
Indeed. While that was going on, Iceland were drawing with Austria, and then right at the end, the incredible scenes. Possibly, I mean, that is a clip that we'll see for the rest of our days, and rightly so, because Iceland at their first major tournament, a country of only 330,000-odd, getting not just, I mean, a point was enough.
Sorry, could I get confirmation on their population? I'm not sure anyone's mentioned it. Is that definitely true, yeah?
It's about that. But to be fair,
perhaps give me a British town to compare it
Coventry.
With. Thank you very much.
I have been saying for many years that Iceland are the most overachieving nation in football.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, Marcus,
I don't remember you saying that once.
To tap into
we've
that,
we've got proof of it.
If you'll let me,
please,
because it's important.
Very.
And a contractual obligation. Iceland are now 150-1 to win the whole thing with Bet365. So £10 on that will give you £1,510, including your stake. They've got England next. I wouldn't put you off it.
Yeah. I'm having a quid. They erupt and ruin everyone's flight. I've got a quid in me back burner, Jim. It's going on Iceland.
It's all very confusing what was the EU referendum coming up, because people are one hand saying, oh, Iceland have got 330,000 people, and also 330,000 people are coming into the country every year. It's like, are the whole of Iceland coming to the UK every year?
Maybe that's it.
Well, that's why. Maybe that's how they know England so well, and they're going to beat us in the next round.
They should come for summer. Because, and I say summer, obviously our summers aren't great, but it's that cold. You don't want too much of a culture shock.
What did you make of the winning goal?
It was a lovely one. I love the commentary, obviously. We've all heard that by now, I would imagine. But as the absent Pete Donaldson quite rightly pointed out, he peaked too early.
Yeah, he did. He had nothing left in the tank.
Well, he peaked when it was a 3-on-2, which... That breakaway guaranteed Iceland at least a point. And I think that's probably what he was shouting about. And then when the goal went in, the man exploded.
Yeah.
Because there was nothing left, Jim.
Yeah, there was nothing left in the tank. I heard on the radio, I think it might well have been this morning. In fact, it would have had to have been this morning. And the guy was they had an Icelandic guy and they're translating it.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a hard translation job. It was just like, yes, 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 yes. I think, and it was a brilliant goal or something like that.
Yeah, some things are not worth translating.
No, but the funny thing about the whole situation is that Portugal then got a note from the manager, then started knocking it about, thinking we're loving this, and now they've got Croatia.
Yeah, I know,
which is fantastic.
Iceland have dodged the Croatia bullet.
Yeah, they have,
and have got the England bonus.
They've got the England flower, the England little tickle with a feather.
Yeah. the belly rub.
Yeah.
Indeed. But I mean, they went 1-0 up, Iceland, and they nearly scored a cracker through Gudmundsson of Charlton Athletic. Mm. But it was Budvarsson who opened the scoring. His first in 19 games for Iceland. He hadn't scored since September 2014 for his country, which is now consigned to the history books.
Another, it's almost like an identical penalty from Dragovic to hit the post, identical to Ronaldo's, I mean.
Yeah.
We hit the bottom.
Also, Juanfran's in the Champions League final.
There we go.
Very popular missed penalty at the moment.
Don't hit the post, hit the target.
Well, Sergio Ramos, he tried to mix it up, didn't he?
That was a bad penalty.
Although the goalkeeper was nearly...
Yeah, basically hugging him.
why is Ramos even taking penalties?
Yeah, I wondered that.
Just pulling rank as skipper.
Maybe, he does. He takes them in penalty shootouts for Real Madrid.
It's not a CV. It's not a CV, is it? And Gareth Southgate's taken a penalty in a shootout. Doesn't mean you give him it in a big tournament.
Yeah, it's a funny one.
He's pulled it out because he's a skipper and he wants to do it, and it's backfired.
Indeed,
it has. I for one bloody enjoyed it.
That's right. Austria, Austria had 70% possession.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. Schoff scored. Schoff, or however you pronounce that, he scored a great equaliser to set up a tense last half an hour for Iceland, but they held on. Quite handsomely held on.
Well, very handsomely.
Yeah.
All very beautifully chiselled men.
That's right, yeah. It is fantastic for Iceland. There's so many great stories. Northern Ireland and Wales.
England.
And Ireland. but Iceland are there. And Ireland beat Italy 1-0. Robbie Brady put his name in Irish football history.
It was impossible not to be swept up with the
so
scenes.
Good. Yeah. There's a lot of scenes.
Because beforehand, it looked like they'd blown their chance. Houlihan nipped in there. Technically very good player. You think he's going to tuck it away, and that's going to be that. He completely fluffed his lines, and you thought, right, that's that then.
Also, before that, they should have had a penalty, so there was a sense of maybe a little bit of injustice there.
Mm. I mean, if you know, that goal actually put Turkey out of the competition, I believe. So,
Turkey and Albania have gone home, haven't they?
It's very mean of Brady to eliminate Turkey.
He don't care.
The goal meant Northern Ireland will face Wales and Ireland will face France. Northern Ireland will be loving that.
Yeah. Well, if we're looking at, there's eight games in the second round, of course, so the last 16, there's eight games. Is it fair to say there's probably going to be one upset? Okay, you think there'd be at least one upset?
There's no point in predicting this tournament.
No, there isn't. So that, in a way, sort of enforces my point. There will be at least one upset here.
Mm.
I just wonder if it's going to be Republic of Ireland.
What, getting revenge on France?
I think...
A handball.
I'm not going to make it our bet of the show, but I'm just saying, keep half an eye on it.
But it would be interesting for Ireland, because if they did beat France, they would have a totally different game against Iceland in the next round.
They're looking at it as a bye to the semis.
Yeah.
That's what they're looking at it. Get past France. We're in the semis and anything can happen.
That's right. The motivation for them to beat France is going to be so high, though.
Mm.
Really is.
It really is. But Northern Ireland versus Wales in the last 16 of the Euros.
Guaranteeing a home nation in the quarters, which I love.
That is ridiculous. This tournament is a maze balls.
It's been great, isn't it? Because there was a lot of worry before the tournament that the expansion of it would make it, you know, less entertaining. And there's been an element of teams setting up to be defensive because they're not as good as the teams they're playing, but it's not really affected the enjoyment of it at all.
That's right. And Northern Ireland or Wales will play Hungary or Belgium. You would expect it to be Belgium, but the way the tournament's gone, you never know. But if it was Belgium in that game, okay, Belgium hammered Ireland. And Belgium have some great players, this we know, but they are beatable because their manager can't set a team up.
No team is without weaknesses in this tournament. But a lot has been made about the sort of supposed very sort of bottom-heavy sort of side of the draw.
Mm.
But, I mean, ultimately, it still could be Croatia or Portugal against Belgium in the semi and France versus Spain or Italy in the semi.
But don't count Poland out. Poland only were just pipped by Germany in the group, and they probably should have beaten
Germany.
But
they faced Croatia or Portugal in the quarters.
True.
It's a tough assignment for them.
Very tough, yeah. I mean, that statistic of the teams at the bottom half have so many international tournament wins between them.
Mm.
Well, and they generously put England's one, unless they count Little Tournois as well, which I hope they did. it's slightly misleading. Italy don't look brilliant, but as you said in an earlier podcast, Jim, you don't really want to come up against unfancied Italy,
no.
Do you?
No, you can't ask for a better second round fixture from England's point of view anyway. I mean, the fact is of the matter, joking aside, they should be in the quarterfinals now, which I think before the tournament started, people would have been say that's about par, I would suggest.
Yeah, I'd have taken it.
Anything more than the quarterfinal, you'd be delighted with, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Well, Hodgson, as well, he said after the last game that
sooner or later England are going to open up and they're going to really spank someone. And obviously Iceland won't set up in a way that invites that. But if they can get a goal in the first half, maybe that'll be the performance. And I don't want to, you know, write off Iceland because they have every chance of frustrating us and nicking something. We've seen that sometimes England's nerves get to them on a big stage. But you would also hope that by that, you know, the opposite side of that coin is that England actually really could take some confidence here.
Yeah, but if Iceland dig in, which you would expect they would, as other sides have done, and it's worked, well, for Slovakia mainly, they're looking to maybe get to penalties. But Jim, you think England would win on penalties?
I do. I've said this and I may be ridiculed for it.
What are you doing? First of all, you keep saying England are going to spank someone soon.
Yeah.
And secondly, you say we're going to win a penalty shootout.
England are going to spank someone on penalties. What doesn't make sense about that?
Are you a double agent?
No. Like, I'd admit that.
Yeah. Matt Elliott does.
Shut up.
I was recently at a thing where Matt Elliott was there and people saying he obviously used to play for Scotland. He went, yeah, when I started playing for Scotland, we were 23rd in the world. When I left, we were 43rd. I was a double agent.
Oh my God.
Something very much to be proud of. What I've said to you guys before is that I think England obviously have a huge inferiority complex with a lot of nations when it comes to penalties. It feels like if we know there's someone who are, you know, are for whatever reason just bigger than us in terms of status and a bit more storied than us, we don't feel like we can actually beat them. So even when it gets into extra time, there's a sense of inevitability. We know what's going to play out and we sort of allow it to happen. I think against a team where we don't have an inferiority complex, it wouldn't happen so much. Like when we mugged off Spain in Euro 96.
We have an inferiority complex against better teams and we find it impossible to break worse teams down.
Yes.
It's a great combo.
Just play ourselves
it's
forever.
It's football the England way.
Yeah. England with Bibs 1, yeah. England without Bibs 1.
Chris Sutton nowhere to be seen.
Both lost on penalties.
We can't do anything against anyone unless they're exactly the same as us, and even then it will be a draw.
Yeah. In that situation we would get lost on penalties as well. They just disappear into the jungle somewhere, just play out forever.
We've got to mention the scenes at the end of the Ireland game as well. Wes Houlihan had that chance, Martin O'Neill looked deflated.
Keane was in tears.
Yeah. Mm. Because, well, it was such a glorious opportunity that opened up out of nothing. It was maybe a foul on the defender, and then of course Wes Houlihan put in that great ball for Brady, and Martin O'Neill was celebrating and shaking hands with Conte before the final whistle.
Way ahead of time. What happened was, O'Neill was celebrating because he thought the whistle being blown for a free kick was the final whistle. Conte just like, well, I want to get this over anyway. this is a dead rubber as far as I'm concerned. And then just started celebrating with him. Then who was it?
Al Shaarawy
came over and said, what are you doing?
Yeah.
and then the referee blew up anyway.
Yeah. But, so, by which time Buffon was delighted for Ireland.
As Marcus said to me earlier, he looked like he was from the Irish bench. Like, he was like, this is a brilliant result. Well done, everyone. Like, what are you doing? He's got like 150 caps for Italy or something.
But that's it though, isn't it? He's coming towards the end of his career. You see this sometimes. It's sort of like they're on holiday in their own career still, just enjoying it while
he
still
play.
Either that or he was saying, well, that's what happens if you don't pick me.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. He didn't play and that was the only goal of the
tournament.
He's
actually got 159 caps. I thought I was exaggerating with 150. Yeah.
Mental.
Yeah.
Soon to be 160, of course.
Yeah,
what a record. But Roy Keane, Was he happy or was he angry?
Grabbing men by the throat.
Because he expresses everything he feels in anger. I imagine the tears were sulfuric acid.
He's
as
like
well.
Blanka from Street Fighter 2.
Very much so.
He was grabbing men by the throat. I don't know what emotion that is then.
Yeah.
At one point when he grabbed Martin, and I didn't know whether he was going to kiss him or bite his face off.
Yeah. Bite his face off, definitely that.
It was extremely homoerotic. Mm. Mm. But more on the Euros after this.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble. You're sponsored by Bet365. While we're here, Luke, let's have some highlights.
Yeah, should we do the highlights now?
An early highlight section before we move on with the Euro chat.
Matt Page, you're up. Oh. He said, the third place complexity, which means Portugal are given an easier side of the draw by failing to win a single game, while Iceland score a last-minute winner to be rewarded with the same side of the draw as England, Germany, France, Italy and Spain. Daniel Greenfield then replied saying, well, the third place team should just drop into the Europa League. That'll make it a lot easier.
I like that. Oh, by the way, I think that Iceland are glad they're playing England and not Croatia.
Agreed.
Yes.
Axel Eklund, a delightfully named Axel Eklund, says Lars Lagerbäck's comments were, when asked by a Swedish reporter about facing England, he said, I've never lost to them, having played them four times. So that's an interesting one there. I don't know if that means an awful lot, to be honest.
I'm telling you, we're going to smash them on penalties.
He was giving it the big one ahead of the Portugal game, which was lovely. Remember that? When he was calling them all actors and whatnot.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
He said Pepe was a Hollywood actor and Ronaldo... maybe
was a not very good Hollywood actor. It's words to that effect.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, here's a highlight from Evan Kearney. He says, for the last few months, I've been badgering a mate of mine to listen to the Ramble. He finally caved and listened to the latest episode. He was born in Bratislava, the capital of Slovakia. Needless to say, Luke spending five whole minutes whining about Slovakia did not go down that well. He gave me a particularly instructive rant about there being 50 million more people in England than there are in Slovakia and called England the international version of Chelsea. Ouch. Ooh, that's backfired, isn't it?
Really?
It has, yeah.
Chelsea won the Champions League, though, defending to the hilt.
Yeah, they did.
And England have... There's a lot more of a divide in England than there is in, say, Wales in terms of population.
True.
As well. So we've, you know...
So are you just sticking the boot back into Slovakia?
I appreciate you guys making excuses for me.
No, I'm saying that we're very aware of our failings as a country with a sort of much bigger population. We've got bigger populations than Portugal, Croatia, Romania.
On the other hand, though, if you had just tuned in for the very first time and heard five minutes of me, you wouldn't think that.
Such choice words as disgrace. Just banding about for them trying to get the best result they could try
to do, and I don't think that I've done it very well, as you're realising, is I'm with the other guy.
Okay, right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, in which case, I'm taking issue with that. Are you supposed to support me?
Well, I kept saying to you, you were being a bit harsh when Slovakia were a disgrace.
You're a disgrace.
Look, as long as he subscribes and that's fine.
He's not going
to subscribe. Yeah, he doesn't even have to listen.
In retrospect, I probably was a bit harsh, but I acknowledge that I am saying that just in case we play Slovakia again.
Okay.
And they've come back to haunt us. Mm. Okay, what about this one from Ben Fraser? He says, my highlight is Roy Hodgson's brilliance in ensuring that England fans are treated to a feast of football as we romp to the final by beating France and one of Italy, Spain or Germany.
Can't wait for that.
Yeah, right. While those Welsh melts, have to be content with beating the also rans of Northern Ireland, Hungary and Poland. Hashtag, you have to beat the best to be the best. And he also finishes off by saying, alternatively, we will probably check out at Iceland.
All clever.
Something we can all see happening.
Definitely, yeah.
So at least it'll probably be for a bargain price.
Yeah, you'd hope so.
Yeah. Richard Cockbain says... I think it's Cockbain. It might be Cobain. I don't know. Anyway, sorry, Richard. I'll just call you Richard. Richard says... Loving Iceland's work. If I could choose any team to administer a crushing and embarrassing defeat and early tournament exit to England in the next round, it would be them. Calm down, Richard. Hang on a minute. This is the problem with England football fans. Yeah. When we actually get a decent draw, they're talking about how we love everyone.
Is he English, though?
Yeah, he is English. He's referred to England as us in that. Stuart Smith, Wayne Rooney was asked what these words of wisdom for the squad would be ahead of the Iceland game. Try and win, he said. Inspirational leader.
Cheers, Wayne.
Inspirational leader, says Stuart. Fantastic. And penultimately, Ben Steele says, watching Hungary versus Portugal with four other people huddled around someone's phone on the district line to Wimbledon in London, if five total strangers watching a game between two countries none of them are from isn't what tournament football is about, I don't know what is.
Oh, that is brilliant.
Good scene.
Imagine, I'd love to have seen that on the tube, wouldn't you? Mm. And I'll end with this one from Bob Dunn. No football tonight. I might actually have to talk to my wife.
Dear.
Cheers, wow. Bob. Your wife is a lucky lady.
Yeah.
It sounds like a 1970s working man's club comedian. Mm.
Sounds like a done deal. Belgium beat... His name's Dun Jim.
Yeah,
Belgium beat Sweden 1-0 and Nangolan settled it.
He did.
You said this was one of your favourite celebrations of all time.
I did say that. Maybe I'm getting a bit caught up in all the Euro fever, you know, saying that we're going to smash those Bjorky little mugs on penalties and all that.
Enjoy it, mate. I am enjoying it.
I really am. But what I loved about it was quite a tight game. Nangolan settled it with a frankly brilliant finish, yes, even though it got a little bit of a deflection. But his celebration was to just put his thumbs up and just show it to the crowd. Just like, got it. I've got this, lads. Don't worry about it.
He's a brilliant
player. This was always safe.
I really like him. I think we don't see enough players of Indonesian descent in at the top level of football, in my opinion. I'd like to see more of them.
Yeah, Ibrahimovic has bowed out of international football.
Yeah.
He tried to inspire them, but it just wasn't there.
He doesn't have the pace to get the best out of that team because they're very, very limited. And he's never been a pacey player, but they just couldn't get him the ball enough. It was as simple as that.
Mm. He's not the gassiest Swedish man around.
Oh, this is fantastic.
This is unreal.
The great thing about this type of story is that as soon as everyone sees it, they all go, we're tweeting the Ramble with that. That is absolute nailed on Ramble material.
We appreciate that.
Yeah, yeah.
We do.
Tell them, Marcus.
Yeah, let us break.
They know. Yeah. Everyone listening has already tweeted us this, but let's do it anyway. Yeah.
Let us break, if you will, from the Euros. Adam Linden Lundqvist has written his name in, I don't know if it's about the history books, but...
Depends of what?
The hearts and minds of the footballing public. Because as far as I'm aware, and I'm happy to go out on a limb here and say he's become the first footballer to be sent off for passing wind during a match. This happened in Sweden. The referee said, I perceived it as deliberate provocation. He did it on purpose and it was inappropriate. Therefore, he received a second yellow card. Whereas Lundqvist simply said, I had a bad stomach, so I simply let go.
Yeah, Lundqvist also said, it's not as though I farted into my hand and handed it to him.
I love the thought of that. That's a thing you can do.
Yeah, well, it is, but you don't want to do it. Imagine the idea of him doing it on the football pitch. Is there any talk that he's going to try and get it overturned?
I don't think you can for a yellow, can you?
Well,
he went on to say, to provoke anyone with a fart is not particularly smart or normal.
No.
It's nonsense. I just broke wind and got a red card. I spoke to the referee afterwards. I was annoyed, but there were no bad words. I just said he was a buffoon.
He also said that he didn't know he'd already been booked.
Yeah, well, it's a confusing afternoon all round. But I'm really impressed by how confident this guy is. Most people would be absolutely mortified by this and just never leave the house again. Yeah. He's like, this is weird, isn't it? He finds it as funny as everyone else.
Yeah. He's called the referee a buffoon.
He has.
I enjoy that.
I do. Right.
That might get him a further ban.
Well, the referee has booked a player for worse before, it would appear. He said, once there was a player who stood and peed next to me on the pitch.
Yeah, that's unacceptable.
I showed him a yellow card too.
Maybe there's something about this referee.
It shouldn't be the same level of punishment.
That's
worse, isn't it?
Of course it's
certainly
worse.
Urination is worse than passing rectal gas.
And that is today's lesson on the football.
There's one takeaway from this show.
Today's letter is P.
Yeah.
And so on. Yeah. But back to the Euros, Jim. Back to the sanctuary of the Euros, the windless Euros. Croatia beat Spain 2-1. Yeah. This is a few days ago now, but what a win. Spain have got a terrible second kit.
I don't mind it.
Yeah, I quite like it.
I quite like the Belgian second kit. I quite like the Spanish second kit, and I like the Turkey second kit as well.
I think all of those are a little bit meh. What is it that you don't like about the Spain kit? I quite like it.
The red
is by the heart, isn't it? And then it just sort of expands into white. I like it.
Into vomit. Yes.
You don't like the Spain kit because it expands into vomit.
It looks like someone's had a little vom.
Yeah, it does.
I like the home kit.
As the self-appointed mediator here, I'm leaning more towards Jim, but I can see Marcus's point of view. Now, let's move on.
Where's Pete when you need him?
Exactly where he should be, miles away from this discussion.
Growing up on Spain kits.
Yeah.
And that would be more of a Yogurty mess, though. But Morata, he was on the end of a great move, but it wasn't enough. The mighty Croatians won. I mean, my goodness, we all thought that Spain would end up topping the group and be in the other half of for the draw, but they're not Croatia, are, and they deserve it. I mean, Rakitic pulling the strings. Modric wasn't playing in that game.
They got a lot of good players in midfield. The players who came in did very well.
But we don't. I mean, in terms of huge players, they obviously have Modric and Rakitic, and Mandzukic. You would put Mandzukic in there. But really, there's not that many recognisable.
Perisic is quite well known.
Yeah, and Cerna has been around a while too.
Cerna is, but he plays in Ukraine
for Shakhtar.
Yeah, and Perisic plays for Inter, but. You know, but I'm talking about
saying.
A huge name.
But
they've never really had... Look, I'm hardly saying Perisic is unknown. I'm not saying that, you know.
Yeah, but they've never been sort of a team full of huge, huge stars, have they?
Well, in the sort of late 90s, not to the level that you're talking about, but they had a lot of very well-respected and rated
but
players.
A lot of that was from them emerging from France 98.
Yeah.
Well, Euro 96, actually.
Well, yeah, no, very true. Mm. But I think one of the things about Croatia that's been so impressive is they have had far more nonsense to deal with from off the pitch than anyone, with what happened in the Czech Republic game and all the stuff around that, and about how, you know, some of the fans are deliberately trying to get them kicked out of the tournament or whatever, all those theories going around. And that must be very difficult to play under, and they have not let it affect them at all. If anything, it's spurred them on.
Yeah, they dislike the manager, it appears, according to some people.
That's and the head of the Croatian FA as well. No, the whole system.
Was it the whole system?
Supposedly, apparently, there's a big rivalry between is it Split and Dinamo Zagreb?
It's just Split. Just the town, the cities of Split and Zagreb. This is all according to what Slaven Bilic said on ITV a few nights ago.
But. Which is a great shame because, well, obviously it's a shame, but to look at it in the.
But I think they let it affect them in the Czech Republic game. They got pegged back, but they didn't. They seem to have got over it. I mean, they played well against Spain. To beat Spain in any tournament is a fantastic result, and they'll be fancied. I mean, as we talked about, I think it might have been before we came on air, we talked about Croatia being these perennial sort of dark horses. They're very capable of getting past Portugal, and we'll come on to that in a minute with the bet of the show. And after that, they play Switzerland or Poland, which again is winnable. Then you're in the semi-final, where they'll probably face Wales or Northern Ireland. And then before you know it, they'll be in the final, won't they? But I just wanted to say, actually. I wanted to come in there and say Italy obviously play Spain in the next round.
Yeah.
Which is a really mouth-watering tie. Arguably the tie of the round. But if you do fancy Italy to beat Spain as well as Croatia, and they're 10-3 to do so at Bet365 and £10, and that returns you £43.33, including your stake. Worth a look.
Indeed. I would say that Croatia have been the team of the tournament so far. I really do think they have. I mean, I know that's not too outrageous a statement.
I don't know if you can... Yeah, I mean, I understand what you mean, and I don't disagree with it, but I also think that at this point, it doesn't really matter at this stage, does it?
I did say so.
You can't lose it. You can't win it in the first couple of weeks, but you can certainly lose it.
And also, what's been really intriguing about it is there's not an obvious standout, you know, team of the tournament so far. It's not an outrageous shout to say Croatia, and you know, it's not an outrageous shout to say a number of teams, and that's brilliant because it's just so unpredictable. Where's this going to go?
Yeah, I mean, Croatia, France, Germany, and Poland, as well with Croatia, had the highest points tallies with 7 points. So nobody's won all three of their games, but seldom do they in tournament group phases. Yeah. But Northern Ireland and Portugal, the only sides to go through with 3 points.
Yeah.
Northern Ireland nipping in, and they will be playing.
Have they got a chance against Wales, do you think?
They do have a chance against Wales. I think that they were grateful for that Irish goal against Italy, because it meant obviously Ireland play France and Northern Ireland then play Wales. But both Wales and Northern Ireland will be thinking, brilliant.
Yeah.
These are teams that we know, they have a similar style they've grown up in a similar footballing culture. You know, a lot of the players will play in England as well. Both of them will think, my goodness, the quarterfinals in touching distance.
Yeah. Mm. Who do you think it's going to be, Marcus?
I don't know. You'd have to say Wales, because they have obviously got a bit more quality. But the green and white army in a quarterfinal is an unbelievable prospect.
Well, if Wales get through and play Belgium, they obviously had Belgium in their group as well, didn't they?
Beat them twice,
yeah.
I think.
I don't think they've beaten both
Sorry,
times,
four points?
Yeah, I think they got 4 points.
They certainly didn't lose to them. They beat them in Wales. I remember that one with the Gareth Bale call.
And Belgium are vulnerable, as we've seen, even if Belgium get past Hungary. I mean, you could be talking about, it's not a stretch. I know it's early, but it's not a stretch to say Wales could be in the semi-final.
Yeah, that's why from an England point of view, it's very frustrating that they're in the other half of the draw, because if England do beat Iceland, you would expect it to be France.
Mm. Can we meet Wales in the final?
Yes.
We've got to get someone in the final.
Anyone, they're in the top half of the draw. We can only face them in the final. So we can't face Portugal
until
the final. No. So Ronaldo can't hurt us until we get to the final, which won't happen.
He might turn up anyway. Mm. Just start chucking things onto the pitch.
Do you think Slovakia, when they play Germany, they'll be inspired by what happened against Northern Ireland for Germany and the way Slovakia played England?
The problem is Germany have got penalties in their back pocket, haven't they? They don't care about going to penalties because they can win them.
They'll happily do that.
Penalties penalties is seen by Germans, I presume, as an opportunity. Yeah, just not something to be mortally feared at all times.
Just a series of open goals.
Yeah, exactly. Because England see it like it's the fifth step of hell or whatever. Or just to be something to be avoided at all costs. England view penalty shootouts as something that has been specifically designed to hamper them.
Yeah, absolutely.
It is strange. At all levels of football, even playing on like a Sunday morning. Well, I don't want the penalty. You have the penalty. Someone's got to take it.
What's needed is a mindset change.
Also,
it used to be that if a player missed a penalty for England in a major tournament, they became this villain rather than someone who, you know, was closer to doing the best thing for the country than anyone else was.
Are you saying that they shouldn't be treated as villains? Well, they should be treated as victims.
But they're not now, are they? It's been a while since it's been
it
relevant.
It doesn't seem as virulent.
No,
it
doesn't.
There's not as much scapegoating, I would suggest.
Yeah, when you can suggest that. But what would you suggest our bet of the show is?
Our
Luke?
Bet of the show is we quite like. Oh, by the way, I should say we had a winner last time round.
Yeah,
so get more money. About 100 off the top of my head, about £114 for Prostate Cancer UK because we had under 2.5 goals in the both games in Group E, and that happened. So great news. So that's 2 in 3 now. So we're on a bit of a run. We've gone for both teams to score and a Croatia win in the Croatia-Portugal game. It's currently 6-1 on Bet365. Mm. So a £50 stake on that. It returns us £350, obviously including our stake, and all proceeds going to Prostate Cancer UK. You must be over the age of 18 to bet, and please gamble responsibly. For more information on responsible gambling, please go to
gambleaware.co.uk.
You do it much better when Pete's not here. Before we go, I've also got a bit of a... I've got an email.
Yes.
I forgot to mention earlier, I've actually got an email, and it comes in the form of an update from Testicle Matt.
Oh,
Testicle
yes!
Matt! Again.
We requested it.
Yeah, he piped up a while ago, but didn't give us too much information about where he is now. He's emailed us with the subject line, testicles, so we know it's from him.
Yeah.
He says, greeting ramblers, I can confirm that the testicles are firmly located in Switzerland these days.
Oh. Neutral testicles.
He says,
everyone's testicles.
Yeah, football fever is among us, although the Swiss don't have the same passion as the Mexicans. Of course, those of you who come late to the show won't know, but Testicle Matt first got in touch when he was living abroad in Mexico. He says, you should organise a ramble tour to Mexico. I'll be up for it, although I can't imagine the wife would agree. The peak of excitement here is there are a lot of car horns tooting after each victory, which is basically every day due to the many different nationalities living in Switzerland. He says, this is particularly true in my area, which the locals call the ghetto. I must point out, though, in the so-called ghetto, we have a Porsche garage, a Lamborghini garage, and a Bentley garage, so it's not really a ghetto. He says, I was politely informed by my neighbour when Switzerland played Albania that we shouldn't go out in case the Albanians shoot us. I'm not sure if he was being serious or not. Keep on rambling. Testicle Matt.
Marvellous.
Thanks, Testicle.
Yeah. A wonderful update.
It's great to hear from you.
And Switzerland are doing well. They've got Poland in the next
round. Yeah, they've got a chance of getting through to the quarters.
And with Jan Sommer in goal, every chance.
In which case, I hope, nay demand, we get a further update from the testicled one.
We have a tour of Switzerland.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah.
It wouldn't take long.
Wouldn't take long
at all. Wouldn't take as long as
Mexico. That's wonderful. That really is wonderful. Yeah. And if you're reasonably late to the ramble party, you're thinking, who the hell is Testicle Matt?
Now you know.
Just get on board.
Yeah, all don't right. question it. He's one of our most trusted lieutenants.
I'm not sure I can remember why he's called that.
No, me either. It's something to do with him being in Mexico.
Just leave it there.
That's as much as I've got. Yeah, that's all I can remember.
We have to dig that out. We've got a further request. Remind us why we know you.
Yeah,
Testicle Matt.
He's one of our most trusted men in the field. Just trust him.
Yeah. Oh, dear. Oh, what about this? Obviously, Russia have gone home very much with their tail between their legs, despite that point against England. The Communist Party of Russia was having a go at the Russian football team on its official Twitter account, saying, we need a Stalinist mobilisation. Mental, physical, hard strength.
But they're already out.
Terrifying.
It's not going to do anything, is it?
Yeah, maybe they're looking forward to the World Cup, of course. The party leader said, why does the national team perform like this when 11 millionaires are running around the field with half-bent legs who want to earn a lot and don't want to work like a real athlete should?
Well, you've got a point. I mean, they've been knocked out in disgrace. They've not really showered themselves in glory, have they?
It's quite terrifying.
Yeah, I'm not supporting the comment. I'm just saying it comes from a place of truth.
Right, that is the end of the Football Ramble this week. Thanks for listening to the Football Ramble Euro, sponsored by Bet365. We're back on Sunday night when the knockout round...
It's well underway, isn't it?
Mm. It'll be underway, Jim.
Business time.
Oh, it is. It's business time. Business. And that means Pete Donaldson will be back as well. We assume. Let's hope. You can always live in hope. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
And it's goodbye from me.
Time. Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With Acast, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.